Hey everyone, it's Lena, and another Tuesday he is here, and I get to spend this time with you, which I look forward to week after week. I am in the middle of a series I've called 10 Areas I Need Help With This Year. 10 Areas I Need Help With This Year. And the goal of the series was to kind of pick some practical areas that Christians generally need help with in their Christian walk. And so I started following Jesus back when I was a kid, and later on committed my life to him very seriously when I was in my late teenage years. And over the past, I don't know, 30 years or so, just realized that there's some themes that keep coming up in the Christian life that I need help with. And every beginning of a new year, we just started 2015 earlier this year, it just, we all kind of make resolutions, which typically are aimed at these areas. And we talked the first week about help with eating habits. Then we talked last week about help with quiet time and explained what that all was about. And today I want to talk about I need help with my prayer life. We are not great at praying, are we, as Christians? Some of you say, no, I'm really wonderful at it. I have a gift of prayer in my life. I got to be honest with you. That has not come naturally to me. I am a kind of one of those people that likes to work, put my hand, you know, like I'm more of an active kind of person where I need to, I feel like I'm going to accomplish more if I actually like do stuff as opposed to sitting there talking about it. And so prayer is not intuitive to me. Now, you may say, me too. I need help with my prayer life. Well, I'm glad you tuned in. That's what we're going to talk about today. And every week I take four questions that we address and hit on. And today we're going to start with this question. Why do I need to pray? Why do I need to pray? I think if you go to church or you listen to a podcast or, you know, your own senses, I need to pray, well, why? And that's what I would want to know. Who said? And of course, it's all over God's Word. And maybe I'll start with this thought. Why do I need to pray? Because I'm desperately in need. The truth is that we are all desperately in need. My need may not be your need, but typically God allows certain areas in our life. I like to think of famine as a season of opportunity, a way of opportunity. I like to think of famine as a time that God uses or an opportunity for breakthrough. You ever thought about famine that way? And so when I think about need in my life, it's a kind of a form of a famine. You're starving for something. And that is typically why we need to pray, because we all have those areas in our life that are desperate need areas. And I want to use just Hannah as an example of that. Hannah is an Old Testament woman who was the mother of Samuel, but before she became the mother of Samuel, she had a problem. She was barren. She had no kids. It was a big deal for her. She was married to a man who had two wives, and the other wife would abuse Hannah verbally, like she'd mock her, and Hannah was discouraged. Of course, she wanted a kid more than anything, and many women who are late in their childbearing years, who haven't had kids, might understand that need. And so Hannah, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5, that her husband, Hannah's husband, gave her a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And isn't that something? Sometimes you read stuff in the Bible that blow your mind and make you stop for a minute. God closed her womb. And I think that's hard to face up to sometimes, but the very famine in your life, whatever that famine is not only allowed by God, but sometimes intended by God. And I don't understand how it all works out, but I know that God wants to break through those areas of need. And so don't be discouraged if you're in a place where you're like, why would God do this to me? Because he wants to build a breakthrough, because he's coming through for you, because he's drawing you to him through this breakthrough. You might not even be listening to this podcast if you didn't have a need in your life. And God somehow works it all out for your good. And I don't understand it, but I trust him. And the more I live with him, the more I follow after Jesus, the more I see that he is a God who is so faithful and so good, and he never allows bad things to happen in your life, except that he wants to turn them around for good and draw you to him and give you life through those things. So verse 7, it says, so it went on year by year. Have you ever been in a need that just doesn't relent over and over and over again? It says, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. That's the abusive sister, or otherwise sister-wife, I guess you can call her. It says, therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Remember, we're talking, why do we pray? Because I'm in desperate need with a sad heart. I mean, it's just you're in a place, I don't even want to eat. I'm so discouraged by the situation. It says, after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. In verse 10, it says, she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. This is the pastor. I mean, this is like the leader of the synagogue. He's watching a woman pray. He can't even tell. This is sad. But isn't that true that even many people who are in serving God and leadership aren't praying like other people are? And they can't even recognize a prayer warrior when they see her. It says, Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Why do I need to pray? Because I'm in a place of desperate need of anxiety and vexation. Because I'm dependent on God for my life. Are you at that place in your life? I found in my life that I pray when I need and I'm dependent on God. Some seasons I'll go through life, my financial situation will become grim, and I'll be like, man, God, if you don't come through for me, we won't be able to do this project. I won't be able to fulfill the thing that I think you want me to do. And when it gets to the place where it hurts, I'm on my knees. And it may be, maybe it's a family situation or a health situation. They have a way. I work in the emergency room, and so I see people up close and personal, and illness and death and crisis has a way of drawing people to prayer like nothing else does. But listen, there's another reason. Why do I need to pray? I'm determined to obey God. I am determined to obey God. You say, what kind of obedience? Well, let me show you 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And remember, we're doing a topical study, so we're not sticking to one particular scripture passage like we do when we do a book study. That we're kind of looking at more concepts and topics that I want to cover during this season of the podcast until I finish the series. Then I'll be doing a book of the Bible study. But so, listen, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. But let me read a couple of verses before that to give you some context. Paul is speaking to the church, and he's given him final instructions, and he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God's will for your life is to pray without ceasing. This is incredible. Are you fulfilling His will? You're like, no, I have a job and a family. I can't pray without ceasing. But you can have a spirit of constant prayer. I walk into ER patients' rooms, and I'm telling you, I'll tell you what, when I forget to do it, it's when I get a kid who's dying, somehow just pray without ceasing, multitasking, saving a life, and praying somehow becomes natural to me. You know? Like, I'll be kind of running through the ER and forget about praying until I get a really sick kid. And then somehow, this concept of praying without ceasing becomes like breathing. So we know we can do it. Colossians 4, verse 2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Are you continuing steadfastly in prayer? We'll talk about how to pray later on in the podcast, but why do I need to pray? I'm in desperate need. I'm dependent for it for my life. Listen to this verse, Psalm 63, verse 1. I passed it over before. I think it's cool. I love that. There's two verses in Psalms that I love about prayer and speaking with God. It says, oh God, David's writing his psalm. He says, oh God, you are my God. By the way, David wrote this psalm when he was in the wilderness of Judah. So if you're in a wilderness, typically, that is a place where prayer becomes familiar. I love the mountain peaks, but when I'm in a valley, I learn to pray. It says, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. It goes on, Psalm 42, verse 1, he says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Do you ever feel that sort of dependence on God for your life? And out of that comes this determination to obey Him. I'm going to pray without ceasing. Why do I need to pray? I'm desperately in need. I'm dependent for my life. I'm determined to obey Him. And then I'm dressing up for battle. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Chapter 6 is a chapter that talks about putting on the armor of God. Verse 18, it goes on first and talks about, you know, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and breastplate of righteousness. It gets to verse 18. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. That is incredible. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. You say, what? I don't know if I have time for my prayer life. It's God's command for you today. Do you not want to obey God? And you're like, no, I really don't. Well, then, I don't know what to tell you. Why are you still listening? Just go find something else to do with your life until you hit your next crisis, and God will draw you back to Himself, as He's been so desperately trying to do. So, why do I pray? 4 questions we're going over. 10 areas I need help with. I need help with my prayer life. Number 2, why do I keep failing? Don't you want to know? I want to know. Why do I keep failing? I remember being 16 and 20 and 25 and 30. I could barely make time for my quiet time reading the Bible. And I would read the Bible, but then prayer, man, it seemed like just kind of an afterthought. And every great man or woman of God who has done anything for God will attest to the fact that it didn't start happening until I learned to pray. And so here's some conditions I wrote down that kind of keep us from being successful in our prayer life. How about this one? I wrote it in 2 different ways. So let me kind of give you this scenario. I've prayed and nothing happens. You know what? So I stopped praying because I've prayed and nothing happens. You been there? Done this before? So what happens is we give up too soon. We're just like, I don't know, man. It doesn't work. And we don't persevere. I read you a couple of verses here in Colossians and in Ephesians. And it talks about persevering. But we don't persevere. And then we're like, God, you don't answer prayer. And so another reason, by the way, is that we pray for the wrong things. In James chapter 4, it says you ask and don't receive because you ask it to consume it on your own lusts. I've prayed and nothing happens. I don't have the time to pray. We have misconstrued priorities. I'm going to give you kind of a list in a second about why I keep from failing, but I like the way I worded these. So give me a minute here while I carry this thought. So I've prayed and nothing happens. I don't have the time. We have a mistaken sense of priorities, of the urgent. I don't know how to do it. Which is great because we're going to talk in a minute about how to do it. But here, if you like lists, here's a list of why you keep failing and you don't see answers to prayer. The number one reason is unconfessed sin. You're not right before God. And so Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2, excuse me, talks about that. He says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. So I cannot minimize that. If you are harboring sin in your life and you're trying to pray and you don't understand why God doesn't hear you, there's hope. 1 John 1:9 talks about our need to confess our sins before God and the promise that He will forgive us. He's just and He's forgiving, but you've got to confess your sin. Proverbs talks about it as well in Proverbs, let's see, I gotta remember where that verse is. Oh, here, chapter 28, verse 13. Whoever hides his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. And so maybe you have sin in your life right now, and your prayer life stinks. Well, start by confessing sin and dealing with that. Number 2, why you pray and nothing happens. Unforgiveness towards others is huge. And Matthew talks a lot about that. That if you, let's see, about Matthew 6, I think is a good passage for that, where he says that if you have a sin against your brother and you come to the altar, leave your gift at the altar, go get reconciled with your brother, and then come. And so that is something you need to figure out in your life. Maybe that's why your prayers are not heard. How about number 3? Why do I keep failing? An unwillingness to wait. I talked about that a bit. I've prayed and nothing happens. So unconfessed and unforgiveness towards others, unwillingness to wait, and unrecognized wrong motives. That's from James 4, verses 1 through 3. And by the way, write those verses down and go read them during your quiet time. If you're like, maybe that's your issue this week, it's about prayer, then write those things down. And then inability to prioritize, I don't have the time for it. All right, why don't you pray? Why aren't you praying? And why do you keep on failing? How about this? So how should I pray? I don't know how to pray. Maybe that's your thing. I don't know how to pray. Well, how should I pray? 2 passages I want to take you to. 1 briefly, which is the one that most of you would say, oh, yeah, clearly go to the Lord's Prayer. And that's Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. And the model of the Lord's Prayer is there. And he a couple of things about that. He says, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Remember last week we talked about quiet time and importance of 15 minutes in a chair? Make that a private chair. So how do I pray? How should I pray? Number 1, privately, not for show. See, it's a lot of you, man, you want to go to church, you want to pray in front of the crowds, and you want people to be like, wow, she prayed real good. Or you're the opposite. You just don't want ever to pray before anybody because you're ashamed of what they're going to say. Both are rooted in pride. See, God wants us to start to pray in your closet. Get 15 minutes in a chair in the closet. So that is the first thing. Number two, pray personally to a father. It says, verse 7 of Matthew 6, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. There's relationship. If you don't know God as your Father, if you haven't been adopted into His family, you say, how? I don't understand what you're talking about. How about John chapter 1, verse 12 would be a great verse for you to think about today if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, to all who did receive Him, Jesus, who believed in His name, God gave the right to become... Let me read the verse again. Sorry, John 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So the first thing you need to do is to receive Jesus into your heart as your Savior. And when you do that, God's promised that you are given the right to be called a child of God. In Romans 8, it talks that we can then call Him Abba, Father. That is a very intimate version of the word Father, Abba. And so here in Matthew 6, where we're talking about prayer, go into your closet, you know, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you, and then your Father knows what you need to pray for. Then it goes on to say, pray then like this, our Father who is in heaven. So pray privately, but pray personally to a Father. We're not just praying to God way up there. We're praying to our Father through Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of the Son on the cross that gave us access to the Father. In Hebrews, it talks that we have boldness to enter into the throne of grace. See, God hears us because He sees His Son in us. So personally, pray privately, pray personally. I'm not going to walk you through the entire Lord's Prayer right now. I want to actually go to James chapter 5 real quick. I'm going to give you a resource at the end that will walk you through the Lord's Prayer in a phenomenal way. And I think the author does a whole better job than I can do in 20 minutes. But James chapter 5, I want to read you about Elijah. Who was an awesome prayer warrior. And you say, man, I could never pray like Elijah. Elijah prayed for rain, for the drought, and then he prayed for rain. And he was the one who prayed, and fire came down from heaven and burnt the altar up. And so the guy knew how to pray. In fact, he prayed, and a boy rose from the dead once. This is Elijah. So you're like, I can't touch that kind of prayer. Well, listen. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working. Now, the righteous person, just a comment here for you, is anyone who's been washed by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So, Jesus became sin for us, and He took our sin and gave us His righteousness instead. And so, if you have accepted Christ, I didn't make this up, this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So this interaction that happened, we call it substitutionary atonement, that interaction that happened where you gave God your sin and He gave you His righteousness, makes you righteous. So now it says in James 5, verse 16, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Now, verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, like yours and like mine. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. This is crazy. You say, well, how did he pray? He prayed fervently. That I would say, so we're talking about how should I pray? Privately, personally, and now passionately, fervently. Do you really care about what you're praying for? I find that we might care about something so much, but we never talk about it with God. But you're not praying about it fervently and passionately. Elijah prayed for 3 years and 6 months. We pray for a week and it doesn't happen. We're like, God isn't real. I'm not even sure I'm saved. What is wrong with us? Over and over in Scripture, we see examples of people who waited on the Lord and God showed up. Instead of taking heart, we just think we're going to be the exception. We're like some fast food, drive-through McDonald's prayer warriors. Enough of that. Pray persistently. Pray persistently. Don't stop now. Keep going. We're in it to win it. And then number 5, pray purely. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. That's verse 16 of James 5, that you may be healed. Are you confessing your sin before to one another? And so we talked about harbored sin. If you're not confessing your sin, and by the way, back to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And listen, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. So, develop a kingdom perspective in your prayer life. I think that's good. Privately, personally, passionately, persistently, purely, and in faith. Elijah believed God. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Do you believe that God will answer your prayers? Many of us don't. We've lost faith. Oh, man. It says in Hebrews 11, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I love that. And question number 4, and I'm going to wrap up. How can I be sure of all this, that God answers prayers? How can I be sure? You know, we want help with our prayer life. How can I be sure? I'm looking at my notes, and my mind is speeding ahead of my mouth. Because I'm looking at the watch, and I want to kind of come to the end here. But what can I be sure of? What can I be sure of as I pray? A few things you can be sure of. God always answers prayers. This is in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. It says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So he always answers us. He always, always. The thing is, sometimes he might say no. Other times he might say not now. But always, always, you can rest assured that God answers prayers. Now, what can I be sure of? The antidote to worry, the opposite of worry. So some of you, you're like, man, I'm always worried about what will happen in my life. Am I going to get married? Am I going to have kids? Are my kids going to grow up to love the Lord? Am I going to be able to make the paycheck this week? Am I going to find an apartment to live in? Here's what you can be sure is that when you pray, that is the antidote to worry. And I'm going to have a whole podcast on worry. So we don't need to get ahead of ourselves except to say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And listen to this. What can we be sure of? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Are you looking for peace today? It starts when you pray. Do it regularly, do it personally, do it in the name of Jesus according to God's will. And by the way, not plugging in those terms to get what you want, but to know the heart of your Father and to submit your will to His. That is the point of prayer, is to say, God, I don't understand it, but I'm putting my will under yours. Do what you think is right. And then you can be sure of this, God is always, always faithful. I love 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Love, love, love that. I wrote in my book, Stripped, there are three prayers God always answers. Number one, God save me. If you don't know the Lord, he will always answer that prayer, God save me. Secondly, Father, now you do know him, Father, help me. God always helps those who come to him in need. And number three, Lord, change me. There's a lordship here. God, you're the Lord and Savior of my life. I am putting my will under yours. Lord, change me. Those are three prayers God always, always answers. God, save me. Father, help me. And Lord, change me. Which prayer is it that you're needing to pray today? Hey, if you're looking for a great resource on prayer, Jen Michelle, my friend, M-I-C-H-E-L is her last name, Jennifer Pollock Michelle, wrote a great book last year called Teach Us to Want on the Lord's Prayer. I highly, highly, highly recommend this for you. If you're struggling with your prayer life, get that book and read it. And prayerfully ask God to use it to radically transform you into a prayer warrior. Hey, if you have any questions or if you want me to pray for you in anything, lena@livingwithpower.org. Plenty of resources for you. Go on the website and I'd love to hear from you. Have a great day and I'll see you next week. Bye.